The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, Christ Without Compromise, the Bible Without Qualification, today, Astronomy from God and Man, This World is No Immortal. And we note there has been a contention, I won't go into the details, that this world is eternal. There has been a new input from a very unexpected source, which need not at this point be named, to the effect that this world is not going to do what Christ in Matthew, Mark, and Luke says it is going to do, namely, pass away. I think this comes from the passing away of a number of basic biblical understandings, and today we're going to look at the fact that we are in a delightful category. To be adopted as a child of God, while as Revelation 20:11 to 21:1 tells us twice, this world is going to flee away and be replaced by a new heavens and new earth, tells us even that there will no place at the judgment be found where this world, heaven and earth could be, and that hence it will not be, but be gone. It seems as though the power of God is becoming unhinged from the minds, as it was predicted of some who in other respects may have seemed straightforward Christians. To contradict Christ in three Gospels and to talk of this as an interpretation, well, I've experienced a lot with the liberals, but this really is, I think, as far as any. Let's look at the context in which Christ said the opposite of this unimposing granting of immortality to matter. Let's have a look and see when he said the opposite, what else he said up to a point. Get the feel of the context. Not unusual thing to do, is it really? So in Matthew 24, let's look at the surrounds, say, starting from a glance from 5, verse 5 right on. We'll just pick out little things to get the ideas. Verse 6 of Matthew 24, you'll hear of wars and rumors, don't be troubled, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Oh, that's just a preliminary. Yes, there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places as we see. Then they'll deliver you up and kill you. And what a testimony they can make to that, the Christians who are left, concerning the Christians who are not being murdered, their houses robbed, stolen, taken, real estate of a lifetime, taken by somebody else, fee, nothing, just death to the owner. Simple method. They should live up to tribulation and kill you. How many Christians have been killed in the Middle East in the last few years? How much extermination to extinction from different countries has been going on? How much rapacity and vulgarity has garrisoned the ranks of the disordered, the detested, the hated, the killed? Well, that's part of the context, yes, that's going on in the area where Christ makes a statement about heaven and earth, so let's proceed. False prophets, verse 11, deceive many. Well, that's certainly going on. I noticed in Australia, for example, it is now the height of philosophic fashion, of political correctness, of the way we are going, who are forward the thinkers, don't you know? The height of civil, social fashion to get rid of the Bible, I read recently a statement from someone in the Bible societies, and the general tenor of it seemed to be this. Now, the Bible really is a good book. I mean, it's been around for a long time. It's been quite basic to our civilization here in Australia. And we've got to realize that it matters. You can't just ignore it. It has a lot of very good things to tell us. Well, it was nice to hear. But I don't hear anything slightly resembling the Bible is from God to tell you human beings in the midst of philosophies and armies and death and poison and millions tortured, add up Hitler's, Stalin's and Mao's murders, tens of millions added up. Then add all the recent Quran quoting, death pacts to kill as a way to heaven. Add all that. And you will see that this also is true. There will be times when they will kill you. They will deliver you up. Verse 9, Matthew 24, to tribulation and kill you. Well, that's happening. But what about the hatred? What about the seething hatred? What about the Palestinians in many cases bringing their children up in an educational purposed program to hate the Jews? Various slanderous statements are made as if the Jews hadn't been there for 1,000 years and the Muslims much, much less dare to provoke truth by such lies, as the Bible makes clear, any such statements constitute. This is part of the contest. Let's proceed quickly. Therefore, when you see abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, it then goes on to speak of the Antichrist and the wickednesses which are to come. And it adds in verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect. Well, that's about it, as I hear some of the political slanders which are going on around here, in which choice leaders, not all, are attacking things of the Bible as though it was a sophisticated indication of one's educational qualifications. False Christs and false prophets will rise. They'll teach morals out of their own heads. Morals which obviously simply amount to the collapse of liberty of speech in favor of an imperious program of political, philosophic, and social desires put into commandments so that people will have to conform to what comes out of the mouth of a politician, not out of the mouth of God. And if anyone at present, I think, is giving an indication in this country of the extreme danger of politicians becoming commandeers of children and directors of men's thoughts, I say if there be anything like that in Australia, it is now obvious. False Christs are crowing. And Peter's are going the way the old one did, but he came back, allowing them to bring to the point, you will say about the following lists of things what we tell you to say. Who are this we? Well, just a preliminary to the Antichrist, and I say that because I've been sketching it out where the Bible is cut out from divine authority, its morals are removed from relevant power and impact. Other morals are replaced, and they are founded upon what is usually an atheistic background, where everything, instead of coming from one sufficient for it, a cause adequate for it, comes from nothing or some verbal equivalent. This is infantile. What are you doing, John? Oh, nothing. We all know that's impossible. As he lives, he's doing something, and so to get something from nothing is equally absurd. But we haven't time to suppose on that, so we come to Christ referring to the coming of the Son of Man, to his coming in glory, to the judgment of the whole human race, as we look through 28, 29, 30, 31. Then he speaks in verse 38 and following of the days of Noah, when they were all building and drinking and so forth. But then the flood came, catastrophe was there, and the thing finished up with only a few delivered. And so he says, that's the sort of way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. There are two people in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. But in the midst of all this, let's come at last to verse 35. So as Christ is saying all these things will happen, says Christ the prophet. But, says Christ the King, heaven and earth will pass away, says Christ the Son of God, but my words will by no means. Yes, I will by all means, says someone. Can't you read? We're interpreting the Bible, aren't we? My words will by no means pass away. Now notice, this is not just a flat contradiction of the endeavor to make the material universe continue on, to give it a sort of an eternal life instead of man, or as well as man, or in some new way which is being invented by someone who is not Christ, but speaking using his name, and using his name in what is not only a reference in Matthew, but a reference also in Mark and Luke. In particular, Mark 13:31. If you want to note that, let's have it again. Mark 13:31. And in Acts 21:33, three times it is recorded. Recorded? Oh, if you want it recorded, well, let's have a look around while we're there. Moving now from the context in which Christ made this statement about heaven and earth going, where his judgment of all things, his prediction of all these things, his coming in power as the judge to propel out all this false prophecy which will do the very sorts of things which are going on. It's in the context of Christ showing the power of God as the Son of God and the work of God as the predictor of the things which will happen. My! I'll let that sink in. This is what's said by Christ. My words will certainly not pass away. Heaven and earth will. He is showing the difference, as Hebrews 12 has it, between the shakeable and the unshakeable. Hebrews makes it clear that the unshakeable is going to be shaken and removed. But what is unshakeable, which is the kingdom of God, which is God, kingdom, all the people that God has brought into the likeness of himself, as we read in 1 John 3. The unshakable, the adopted children of God, the household of God, this cannot be shaken, says Hebrews 12. It cannot be shaken. But everything that is able to be shaken will be. And that's the way of it. The way the things that are eternal by nature or adopted into eternal eternity by grace are going to stand. But it's more than that. Let's read verse 27 of Hebrews 12. Now this yet once more indicates the removal, R-E-M-O-V-A-L. The removal of those things which are being shaken as those that are made. So if you're a made thing, you know, matter, for example, man, for example, oh yes, made, that's to be removed unless it's been adopted, because verse 28, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. That's where we belong. And it can't be shaken, so it won't be shaken. But everything that can be shaken will be. And if you haven't got a passport through grace by faith to Christ, who was broken in death, and the sins of all who believe in him, as we read in Isaiah 53. The we who are healed are the we whose sins are laid upon them. All of those. As you read these things, you realize to be adopted within the realm of the unshakable is not only nice, it's not only lovely, it's not only fascinating, it's not only intriguing, it's not only adventurous, it's not only glory, it's not only vitalizing, it is necessary if you are to escape judgment. So it's not matter as the total that is removed from sight by the scriptures and by the mouth of Jesus Christ in three places recorded in three Gospels, like a full volume given in a concert. Not of rock and roll, but be rocked by this or be rolled over concert. As we look at these facts, let's take a dip at Isaiah 51:6 as we begin to move into the realm of the merely contextual into the configuration. Let's have a look at the way things are set up, at the sort of things which occur when you're looking at God and man, and the Bible as interpreter. Isaiah 51:6. Well, the Old Testament, yes, there is, it is true, a psalm which says that the kingdom, that the earth will be kept forever. But the Hebrew word for forever there is well known. I have been enjoying researching it and looking up usages of the different kinds, and there's no disagreement amongst the scholars that I've been able to find on this subject. It can mean for considerable period, for distinct duration, in whatever category it's meant. For example, you can be said to be, using this Hebrew word for forever, a slave forever. Well, obviously it really means for a lifetime, because that is the relevant context. People mean what they say in the context that they say it, usually. So this forever can mean a continuing period of significant duration, as long as the context would make normal and natural to think of. I mean, if you want to have a slave, that's one thing, but a slave forever, presumably they're not thinking of having him one in the next world, particularly in view of what happened when they were so keen on their slaves under the days of Jeremiah. But at any rate, a slave forever, this is the world. So this world is forever. Eden had the potential for eternal life, lest they stretch out their hand and live forever. If that's not potential, tell me. But God excluded them from the garden. They lost the potential. God says to David, oh, the things that could have been done, but now look what you've done. The potential was there. The period that related to the potential was there. But when judgment sets in, that period changes. Lest he should live forever. Live forever? If you eat of the fruit of good and evil, if you become little gods, the way I've been speaking of many seeming to do in politics in Australia, little gods, as one of us, which was a satanic temptation. People who know all the answers with no show whatever of logic or reason or basic facts, just spouting. Well, that's what false prophets do. When they get in political power and start dictating from their own inwards whatever they see fit and say, that's good. Non is bad. Do not upset people. Do not hurt their feelings. How shocking in these areas. And someone says, yeah, let's do that in other areas too. Then all the people will become mutton. Dead sheep, as far as politics is concerned. Some they may kill eventually. The people will become nauseating, unmanned, unwomaned relics. Blubber. not Wales. They will become prisoners, not of hope, but of what is hopeless. Damaging dynamics from condemning political aggregations. Do this or be examined, be re-educated, exactly as in China. Do this or you will know the result. We will treat you differently. Oh, how nice. We can have free education and be taught how right they are. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that like China at its worst? Well, it's hard to say. Oh, like the Nazis. Yeah, you bring them up with a new vision. Oh, might is right. Uh-huh. And that is the way to go, my children. But we've heard that before only a few decades ago, haven't we? So that doesn't sound so good. But that's the way it is going. But God tells us, when we're looking at any sort of continuance idea of this world, even of the matter back of it, with all the hope for new aggregations of invasion, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look in the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. Now, in my opinion, if something vanishes away like smoke, it doesn't mean that it continues. To me, to vanish means to be out of sight, and to go like smoke means to be finished in its substantial character. The earth will grow old like a garment. Well, that's very clear. I mean, garment grows old. You have the arms sewn, and you have the wife look around the borders, and she tries to make a bit of a new garment out of it, but then it really won't do for these occasions and for those occasions. And in the end, it's a bit of a scruffy mess, so you throw it away. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it in like manner will die. The going of the earth and the dying of the corpse of man are a doublet, a pair, partners. They're going to go. But, same as in Matthew, my salvation, says God, Isaiah 51:6, will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. I always love it when there's any question someone wants to make about time. Just use a negative. He who believes in me will not die. My righteousness will not be abolished. Don't need to worry about it. But of course, the point is that man has one of two options, die or live. If you die, of course, he gets into the condemnation category. And if you live, you're out of the condemnation category, because God has supplied a way out through grace by faith, through the ransoming death of Christ, who died the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. So my salvation will be forever. So the same contrast. But we might care, perhaps, to have a little glance at Acts 3:21. Now this is a very fascinating thing. And I just love it. I always love finding pieces of scripture which, like walking on cliff tops and seeing the way the land develops and rejoicing in its grandeur. So in Acts 3:21, we rejoice in this delicious little revelation. Verse 19. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's another word of Christ. That also has to do with perishing. That also has to do with not being eternal in life. There's this rupture, isn't there? We're beginning to see the configuration of things. The blessing, the abuse, the rupture, the judgment, and the results. Grace intervenes through faith. Some things will stay. The eternal life of the Christians will stay. And they're going to be corrected. Collected, Christ says in Matthew 24, by his angels, in the time comes. It's all very exciting and delicious. It's not just sin and death. It's sin and death and deliverance and grace. But in the meantime, sin is sin and death is death, and it needs to be faced, whether we're talking of matter or any other matter which isn't matter. Repent. I quote from Acts 3:19. Therefore, in view of all that's been said, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, That's the justification that Isaiah 53 tells us is part of it. Christ's merits reach you. Your demerits reach him. Your sins are blotted out. On him is laid the iniquity of all believers. Are you a believer? Well, if you are not, it hasn't been laid. And if you are, it will be. But he, of course, who knows all things in advance, has all that side of things prepared. So that the refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you need refreshing? Well, there it is. Like the rest, it's there to take and there to leave, and the results are perfectly clear. Yes and no. No and yes, that he may send Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is going to be sent. Great, right? Who was preached to you? Not another one. No. Paul talks of believing another Jesus that's in the Quran, one stripped down from all his godliness, righteousness, salvation, and so forth, a stripped down Christ. Almost a comic misrepresentation. Almost a cartoon itemized in words. Christ who was preached to you before, that one. And this Christ, what does it say of him? It says he's got to stay in heaven until, quote, the times of restoration of all things. Right, we learn a number of things. Christ has a current place. It's in heaven. He is reserved in this place. It doesn't come around masses, for example. That is where he is reserved. That's why when Christ says, he has the same message, if they say to you, the Christ is over there, Christ is in the inner chamber, as in a mass, for example, or over there as in a false prophet, for example. Don't believe it! Do not believe it! I don't know how soon it will be before we are told to shut up because we speak the word of God, but it wouldn't be the first one. It's been going on for thousands of years. And so has God's answer. And so the times, he's held there till he comes. When he comes, we're getting into the realm of the regeneration of all things. The restoration of all things. But there's no restoration if there's not a removal, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So there's to be a restoration of all things, and the restoration is to come upon what happened to them, and what happened to them was two things. They were injured, spoiled, and cursed. You read of that in Genesis, and you read of it in Romans, the cursed world, going down the drain towards its terminus, the affliction that has come upon it. You have all this. And part of the curse is death. And the death of this world is that it passes away. It goes away like smoke, like an old garment. And as we saw in Revelation, no place is found for it, and it flees away. And as Christ tells us, it will pass away. Unlike his words! What does it take to realize what is being said? Then the restoration of all things. With Christ, there is his reign on earth, vindication, not indication, and then the heaven and the earth, as in Revelation, as in Matthew, as in Mark, as in Luke, as in the mouth of Christ, as in the mind of God, which has given us in the scriptures, as we learn in 1 Corinthians 2, for example. Then that little item occurs. Look, if you buy a new house, it's a big thing. All right, it is. I mean, compared with yourself and your money and your finances and your life and all that, it is a big thing. Normally, a big thing. But it's not the beginning and the end of you. Some people might do it a half a dozen times, but it is a big thing. The removal of the heaven and the earth, let's face it, is a big thing. I write a book, it's a fairly big thing. I write another one, it's a fairly big thing. A lot went into it. But it's not myself. I write books. God makes universes. All right, it's a big thing. But But it's not as big as all that. God must be understood in his infinite wisdom and power. When you're praying in difficulties and have needs, that is the one to whom you are addressing yourself. If you have to die daily and suffer many things and be slandered and misunderstood and grievously treated and robbed and have your house taken away and your kids killed and all the stuff that goes on with this Quran self-based sort of stuff in the Middle East, if all these things are going to happen, there's a part to play. God wants his grace and his invitation and his opportunity to spread throughout the earth until all the nations have heard, and this has been going on at a marvelous rate through electronic amplifications, as we all know. And there'll be more. Passé, post-Christian is the new name. And what does this mean? We've tried that. Tried it. I'd like to see it tried. The abominations which are done by the Roman Catholic pseudo-church. The funds of parents taken from orphan kids. The bodies twisted in torture before they are killed. You say don't talk of that. Why? Don't you want to talk about the Nazis either? Or the fruits of communism? Or the way of your own life, for that matter? Are these things not to be talked about? Are you to be living for the moment, forgetting all the things you've ever done before, living joyously, happily, recklessly, and ruinously, just as you please? You can. Not commendable. Sophisticated, yes, but very superficial. Doomed in a blight of wisdom, in an egotistical, what was that word that one of the human commissioners used lately? Arrogance. She was accusing someone of incredible arrogance. Yeah, well, that's the way it seems to me, that when you invent things and substitute for what God has said, what you are saying, it is incredible arrogance. So that does seem to be a phrase that does have an application, or would certainly seem to have arrogance. Out with the old. Incredible. In with the new and do it. I'll be cross-examined and re-educated. And maybe over a few years taught to conform. To what? To an antichrist? A substitute for Christ? I don't really like it. Forget all the current personnel. They're just passing members. Their cases are their own. They can have them. But do remember the trend, won't you? And there are other scriptures we might notice. But 2 Peter 3. But we won't spend time on all this. Just get this concept of configuration. For a time, the earth might seem as it might endure forever, but no, no more than Eden. In the Psalm 148, you have it. Will it last forever? Well, the Hebrew term, as we see, doesn't mean of itself forever. It means for a time within the relevant appointment, for what you would expect of the sort of thing a world is. Well, the sort of thing a world is defined separately, and we see it's the sort of thing which is going to go, pass away, be destroyed by fire, be destroyed, pass away like smoke, incandescent in its folly, incandescent in its fall, gone. Though like a good student it had marvelous possible scope, gone. You fail, you fail. Human race has failed. It's trying to intoxicate itself with false wisdom and false prophets, just as the Bible predicted. God predicted all. You just watched it happen. Reminds me of going home. I used to go home from Melbourne to my suburb. I think it was 16 stations. And you could count the stations. You knew they were coming. Same with the Word of God. All the various parts happened in the same order, as he said. The Jews are back. And their lamb was given to them throughout their generations, which is a very clear indication of the sort of forever that was in mind, the sort of forever which goes throughout their generations. In a context where generations is the topic, there can be no question. So Israel was for the Jews, and they're back, and God said they would be, and he's going to keep them. Eventually, there's a turn to Christians, but the big question I must leave you with is one. Are you a Christian? Have you received the blood of the Lamb as your ransom, the death of Christ as the substitution by love for your plight? The answer, by loving kindness, your judicial end, a malingering end. Have you received Christ crucified? Yes, risen? Do you confess Christ with your lips and believe in your heart he is risen? If so, you are saved. But remember, it's the biblical Jesus, not someone else. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, which is truth. It is so tender, like a mother with her child. Is Ephraim a pleasant child? I remember him still, says God of Israel after it had fallen badly. There is tenderness. But when the tenderness is ignored, like someone rushing out and getting drunk and driving a reckless car and murdering a few people by going too fast around corners and so forth, there comes a time when hard reality is the choice, and the results are not a dream. Father, we pray thee, give us wisdom to understand the sheer wonder of your creation of liberty. Liberty to love or hate, but also to understand the results of the hating bit. For Jesus' sake, amen.